Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Well, I am thankful for our pastors. I say that every time I get up here, not because I'm kissing up, but I am really thankful for our pastors. And I'll tell you why. They've been a huge blessing to me and my family from day one. But not only that, I am thankful for you all, for this church. Because when we came here 21 years ago, I didn't want to talk to y'all. I wasn't feeling y'all. I was church hurt. People in church did me wrong. And I was like, my mindset was, is I'm done with church people. I'm done getting close. I'm done opening myself up, but I have enough common sense to come to church. And so during that season, we would come on Sunday mornings, and you know, I wasn't a very good representation of the head of my house, but I told my wife, I said, here's the deal. We're going to go to church, but my name is Back Row Bob. Your name is Side Door Sally. Don't talk to nobody. Don't look at nobody. When the service ends, let's get up and let's get out, because you can't trust them people. And my wife smiled. If you know my wife, she didn't listen to me. And within a week, she was volunteering at the church. But I'm thankful because after a period of time, when I got over myself, I snuck in one midweek to a class. And there used to be a classroom where the South Lobby is now. It was classroom 101. It's a class called Healing Class. Don't ask me why I went. I don't know. I just liked the name. And I went into this classroom and snuck in, sat in the back row in the far corner. So I was in the room, picture me, I was pinned between the wall and the chairs, and I would bend over in the classroom like this, trying to blend in. The problem is, number one, I'm the only black guy in the room. And number two, the average age was probably 60 and above, and so I'm trying to hide, and I stuck out like a sore thumb. But week after week, I would come back, and there was something about the environment, the atmosphere, something about the people that just began to pour into me and draw into me. And all of a sudden, walls began to fall and hope began to rise. And what I found was I made a decision to move forward and not stay stuck in where I was. When we came here, we were wounded. When we came here, I was angry. If I'm honest, not the right thing. But some of my anger was directed at God. That's never the right thing. But I'm thankful that I had a wife. I'm thankful that in the services I had pastors who would tell us to move forward. And I did that. And so tonight I want to encourage you. And tonight I want to talk a little bit about the courage to continue. How many of you know that life happens to all of us, right? It happens to all of us. Life is going to come. In fact, the Lord tells us this. The Bible tells us many are the afflictions of the righteous. Who are the righteous? All right, so four of y'all over there and two of y'all. I'm going to try over here. Who are the righteous? Those of you who know Christ, you're the righteous, right? So that scripture says many are the afflictions of the righteous. Troubles, unexpected things, setbacks, bad news. All of these things are going to come to your way. Many are those. But the scripture doesn't end there. The scripture says, but the Lord will deliver you from them all. And so knowing that, we have to have a willingness to continue encouraged, to continue to move forward, to not allow ourselves to get discouraged and stop and stand still and go back. You know, one of the scriptures or the passages in the Bible that always stuck out to me as a young man, because I didn't really read the Bible much, but it always would bother me, the story about that guy Moses. You know, Moses was a man that God chose to lead his people out of captivity and to lead them into the promised land. So as a young man who grew up poor, I'm thinking, you're going from slavery into the promised land. What's the issue? Follow the man, listen to the man, and just do what he says. God tells Moses, I want you to lead my people into this land, this good land, this land flowing with milk and honey, this land that I have that's vast. I want you to lead them into that. And the Bible says that Moses sent spies into the land to see if the land was good. Now, I'm sorry. If God told you the land was good, why do you have to check to see if the land is good? If God says it, then we believe it. Amen? And so we have to believe if God's told us something that he has for us, then we have to believe that. Well, the Bible goes on to tell us that those spies came back and the majority of the group said, hey, you know what? The land's good, but there's giants in the land. There's all these things that would hinder us, that have the potential to harm us. And they came back with a bad report. But it also says that Joshua and Caleb came back and said, you know what? We are well able. What I found in my life, I passed judgment on those people because I'm thinking, man, these people were nuts. God said it. They should just do it. But I found in my own life, I do the same thing. You know, the Bible is full of God's promises. We come to services every Sunday, every Wednesday, and we hear about the goodness of God. We just sung about the goodness of God. And then life happens, and we're like, but God, the diagnosis. But God, I just lost my job. But God, he walked out on me. God says he has good things for his people. He said, you know what? Yeah, that affliction came, but I got an answer for that too. And so we have to be like Joshua and Caleb and understand that with God we are well able, that we will overcome, that we can endure this, and this is momentary, this is temporary, it has an expiration date on it, and the goodness of God I'm going to experience again in the days ahead. Amen? So I want to challenge you here right now. Do me a favor. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Now, when you look to the days ahead, what do you see? Do you see yourself healed? Do you see yourself set free? Do you see your marriage restored? Do you see that child that's been acting a fool back in your house serving the Lord? Do you see the Lord prospering your business, prospering the work of your hands? What do you see? You can open your eyes now. Let me tell you some of the promises of God that God tells us in Scripture. In Philippians 4:19, he says, God will meet your needs. In John 8:36, the Bible tells us that God will set us free. In Matthew 11:28, he says, God will give you rest. In Isaiah 61:1, it says, God will free you from any darkness. In Psalm 32:8, it says, God will teach you and guide you. In Jude 1:24, he says, God will keep you from falling. 1 John 1:9 says, God will forgive you. Psalms 103:5 says, God will satisfy your desires with good things. 1 Peter 5:10 says, God will make you strong and firm. In Isaiah 41:13, it says, God will help you. We have promises in the Scriptures that no matter what it is you're dealing with, no matter what it is you're going through, no matter how long you've been dealing with it, you have to be able to see those things. And when you grab a hold of that, look out and watch what God's going to do. You know, one of the things that I had to do during that season of my life when God was bringing me back was I had to, in Psalm 34, it says, to magnify the Lord. Sometimes our problems are, or those afflictions are bigger than the Lord in our sight. And we have to magnify. The Lord is bigger than cancer. The Lord is bigger than everything. We have to magnify the Lord. And then I do want to read this one scripture that's not on the slides. I apologize for all these scriptures not on the slides. Hebrews 13:7-8 says this. Remember those who rule over you or who lead you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow. Consider the outcome of their conduct. And then verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You want to know why I like Sundays and Wednesdays? Because every Sunday and every Wednesday, there's a potential. I can come in here and hear something that's going to encourage my faith. I'm going to learn something more about God. You know, when I stumbled in that class, healing class, I found out that God was a healer today. not just in biblical times, not last year, but he's a healer who still heals today. I heard that because Miss Joy told her story. You know what I found out also? Because we had lost our home. We lost all of our finances. But sitting in a service on a Sunday morning, I learned of a God who's able to restore. A God who restores. And when he restores, he restores exceedingly abundantly above all that we could dare ask or think. And so it's important for us, all of us, to prioritize church. One of the things that concerns me is we're getting so much smarter that it's actually making us dumber, in my opinion. Don't hold that against the ark. What do I mean by that? We got so much information coming at us on TikTok, on Instagram, on Facebook, and I don't need a pastor because Joe Huck in Kentucky, he's speaking the Bible to me every Tuesday, and that's all I need. No. God places us in the body as it pleases him. God knew where we needed to be in this time, in this season, all of us. Hear me, I'm a boy from San Antonio. I didn't know nothing about Conroe, Texas. Wasn't looking for Conroe, Texas. In fact, when my company moved me up here, I'm trying to figure out ways to get to Houston. But God was pulling me to Conroe, and I'm so glad he did. Why? Because God saved our life. In fact, my wife got to work. We got in the boat, and our lives were saved because we stayed in the boat. And I want to encourage you tonight to stay in the boat. But when you come to service, come expecting. Come expecting from the Lord to speak to your heart, knowing that he's going to give you clarity. He's going to encourage your faith, and he's going to give you direction for the days ahead. Amen? Amen. There's a passage in the Bible I want to start with tonight. It's in Joshua. But I think I want to set the stage here and really help us to understand something. In this walk that we're in, no matter what it is that we're dealing with, no matter if it's our fault or we're innocent, we're not alone. Look at your neighbor for me and encourage them and tell them, I'm not alone. Now, obviously they didn't believe you. Look at the other person next to you and tell them, God is with me. I'm not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. Let's look at this passage in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. Look at your neighbor and say, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. We have to have courage to continue, guys. Courage to keep moving forward. Courage not to give up. Courage not to give in. In Joshua 1:9, he said, have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Just like Joshua, guys, we all face moments where fear tries to paralyze us. Every one of us. But God gives us the tools to overcome that. So tonight I want to talk about three reasons we don't have to fear. The first thing I want to talk about tonight is we don't have to fear because we have God's promise. We have God's promise. We have a sure victory in Christ. You know, unlike my Dallas Cowboys who are... We have a sure victory, okay? We're not the Cowboys. Trust me. Hey, don't talk about my boys. Be quiet. But we have a sure victory in Christ. Romans 8:37 says, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." It says, in all of these things we are more than conquerors. In sickness, we're more than conquerors. In financial situations, we're more than conquerors. In relational situations, we're more than conquerors. Whether you're innocent or guilty, we're more than conquerors. God assured Joshua that no one would be able to stand against him, that victory is promised, not because of Joshua's strength, because God is faithful. How many of you know that God's faithful? He's faithful and he's good. You think about it for a minute. I remember when my kids were growing up and we were teaching them to ride a bike. And I remember promising my children, and it's so funny how children are so different. I'm like, come on, we're going to be okay. I'm going to be right here. And some of my kids trusted me. Other kids didn't trust me, but that's a different story. But I remember they would finally get on the bike, and they'd be riding it, and they'd start wobbling. And the promise that I would be with them gave them courage. That promise that I would be right there with them gave them the confidence to get on the bike and wobble. And sometimes we have to remember that though we fall, because my kids did fall a lot, we get back up again. We rise again. In fact, the Psalm 24:16, it's not on the screens, it says, "The righteous may fall seven times, but they get back up again." Can I encourage you tonight, if you've fallen in an area of your life, get up. The Bible says we fall again and again, and it also says we get back up. Get up. Get up, because we have a God that loves you and believes in you. And so when you're facing fear because of a job loss or a diagnosis or anything, remember, God's already declared the victory. God's defeated death, hell, and the grave. He's defeated all those things for you. And so we're operating from a place of victory. We don't have to earn it. We've already won. So God's promise is a sure victory. And the second thing is God's word. I want to spend a lot of time here. God's word. God's word is a safe guide. God's word is a safe guide for us. It's an answer for everything and a response for everything. Psalm 119:130 says, "The entrance of your word, it gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." Psalm 119:105, it says, "The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The word is light. And if there's darkness in our lives, the word removes the darkness in that area. Now, this is not my most pastoral moment, but I like to act silly. I know you can figure that. You can kind of tell that. And so I like messing with my girls, even though one's 27 and one's 23. Whenever they're at the house and they'll go in the garage, some reason, man, our garage gets dark. And I always sneak out there. They go out there, and I sneak out there, and I'll shut the light off. And then your boy, you know, I'm kind of dark complexion, and so you can't see me out there. And so I'll just stand silently. My girls are like, "Daddy, stop." And I won't say anything. They're like, "Where are you at?" And I won't move. And in the past, I'd get up close and I'd touch them and they'd scream. And, you know, I'd have my fill for the day and my wife would get so mad at me because I'm scaring the girls. I know that's not godly, but forgive me. Well, something happened at around 23. My daughters got wise. And so I went out there one day, same thing, shut the light off. It was dark. And I heard, "Daddy, where are you at?" And I didn't answer. And then all of a sudden, this beam of light across the room shined. It was from her phone. And she put it up, and she could see where I was. And rather than being on the defensive, she went on the offensive. And she came up, and she pinched me, and I screamed. And she turned the light on. And she exposed my devious side and my mischievousness. And what happened? When she turned the light on, it exposed me. It exposed the darkness. It pushed back the darkness. And that's what the Word of God does. When the Word of God comes into our life, it pushes back the darkness. It shows us that the emotions you're feeling, the lies you're listening to, they're not effective. They're not true. And you know, one of the scriptures in the Bible when it comes to the Word of God, again, not on the screen, it says, God says, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. Okay? It's the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. He says, so shall it be that goes out of my mouth. It will not return void, but it will accomplish for the very purpose and the intent that I sent it. When God's word comes forth, it exposes, you know what? Sickness is not of God. That by the stripes of Jesus, I've been healed. When God's word comes forth, it says, there's nothing else that we can do in this situation. God says, there's nothing too impossible for me. When we get the word that tells us, you know what? Your best days are behind you, that you messed your life up, God says, the best is yet to come. The word of God will produce in your life to the extent that you allow it. If my daughter didn't use that flashlight button, she'd be standing in the dark. She chose to hit the button. She chose to do that. And we have to choose to allow the Word of God to do its work in our life. Amen? God tells Joshua in Joshua, the chapter we just read, he says to meditate on his word day and night. Because the word gives clarity. It gives us direction. And, you know, when you think about that word meditation, for whatever reason, because we watch too much television or whatever, we all think meditation is sitting on the floor, crossing our legs and humming. That's not meditation. That's foolishness. Meditation is just going over the word, 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 until you get it down in you. I liken it like this. I tell people all the time, it's a nasty visual, but it's the truth. I love steak, okay? And I think because I grew up poor, when I buy an expensive steak, it's going to take me all day to chew it and digest it because I want to get every piece of flavor out of that piece of meat. And so I embarrass my kids because I'll chew and chew on this side and chew and chew. Then I'll move it over to this side and I'll chew and I'll chew and I'll chew. Then I'll put it back over here and I'll chew some more and they're like, swallow it already. But that's how we have to do the Word of God. You see, some of us, and I talk to people all the time, they're like, I read my Bible 365 in like 5 minutes. Like, you want a ribbon or something? I'm like, what did you get out of it? Take your time. Meditate on God's Word. Allow God's Word to get in you. And you will be amazed at how that changes your life. Meditate on it day and night. Get it on the inside of you, and it will begin to work for you. You know, I several years back, I woke up one morning. I told my wife that I wasn't feeling well, and my wife was like, "Ah, quit being a baby. Rub some dirt on it." You know. Yeah, but it was back in her face when I fell forward face first and hit the floor, and she ran up and touched my forehead, and I had a 104-degree temperature. So I got rushed to the hospital, and they found out I had pneumonia, and my left side of my lungs were full of fluid and bacteria. Couldn't breathe. Had all these people around me, their tubes, and it was kind of freaking me out. I've never been in the hospital before. And they said it was so severe that they needed to admit me because in that season, there were a lot of people who were coming down with the same symptoms, and it wasn't good. I remember going up to my room, and I was in my room, and they had a nurse change, and this guy comes in, and he was friendly, and he comes in with these little sock things, and he comes, and he's like, "Mr. Thompson, I need to put these on your leg." And so I just said, "You know, what's that for?" And he goes, "Oh, well, they're to prevent blood clots. They're going to massage your calves and legs to make sure blood clots don't get formed in your legs." And I said, "Oh, okay." He goes, "Matter of fact," he goes, "we had a guy your size, your height, who was in here last week, and he had the same condition, and he developed blood clots, and he didn't make it out of here." And I remember saying, "Oh my gosh, I'm going to die." And he, "Have a nice day." And he walks out of the room. And so now I'm meditating on the fact that I'm going to die because I'm going to develop blood clots. And I'm just freaking out. I'm like, I can't believe I'm going to die. My wife's going to be a widow. What are my kids going to think? And I'm being honest here. Going on and on and on. The problem is, during this season of my life, I had started to help teach in healing class. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. You're teaching healing class. Do you believe this stuff or not? And I said, you know what, Lord? Okay. And I looked, and my Bible was next to me. And I opened up the Bible, and I'm like, Lord, I need you to speak to me here. I need you to speak to me. And I was just reading scriptures. And then I remembered in the front of the Bible, it says that the Lord breathed the breath of life into every man. He breathed the breath of life into every man. And I remember saying, God, you breathe your breath into every man. So I thank you, Lord, that you're breathing your breath in me right now. And Father, I thank you that as you breathe your breath into me, there's no room for bacteria and fluid in my lungs. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that I breathe freely because your breath is in me, your breath is in my body, your breath is expanding my lungs, and I thank you that all the bacteria is going away. And I remember while I'm doing this, the doctor came in, they had done some x-rays, and she said, Mr. Thompson, here's the deal. If we don't get this down, because your lungs are still full of bacteria, we're going to have to drain it the old-fashioned way. And I remember saying, what is the old-fashioned way? And she pulls out this big, long needle, and I remember looking at her saying, the devil is a lie. Father, I thank you that the breath of you is on the inside of me. And I remember just meditating on that, saying that constantly for well over an hour. They came back. They wanted to do another x-ray, took me downstairs. And the Lord's my witness. They got the results back, and the left side of my lungs were completely clean. What happened? So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It will not return void. It produced. Not because I was a pastor, because at the time I wasn't. Not because I read my Bible every day. I was super Christian. No. It's because I believed God's word, and I let it work for me. We have God's promise. We have God's word, and we have to trust that. Psalm 34:4 says, I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all of my fears. God will deliver you from all your fears. But here's the deal. When you get into the Word of God, you need to follow it fully. You see, we live in a time and age now where we treat the Word of God like it's a buffet. We pick and choose what we want. Okay, I'll take that one. I'll take that one. Yeah, that's the Old Testament. I don't need to listen to that. I'll take that one. I'll take that. I'm not giving my money to the church. I'm not doing that one. I'll take that one. That's how we approach the Word of God. It's not a buffet. God calls us to follow him fully, to do exactly what he says. Listen to this. This blew me away. Isaiah 30, verse 1 says, woe to the obstinate children, the rebellious children, declares the Lord, to those who carry out plans that are not mine, forming an alliance, but not by my spirit, heaping sin upon sin. You see, in this day and age, what I found is a lot of us, even me at times, we make decisions based on things not from the Word of God. We need to make sure that the Word of God is our source, our only source for every decision, every relational decision, every financial decision, every decision in our life. That's how God leads us. God doesn't lead us through TikTok. God doesn't lead us through Instagram. God doesn't lead us with any political parties, any education system. God leads us by his Word. And his word alone. And that's what we need to lean into. And when we lean into that, guys, can I tell you? You will live the best life possible. God will blow your mind with his blessings and his goodness and his favor. But we have to do it his way. Proverbs 4:20-23 says, my son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words and don't let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So be careful what you allow in your heart. Be careful what you allow in your body, because it's important. So we have God's promises, we have God's word, and then we have God's presence. Aren't you so glad that God goes with us? He didn't just say, you go. He says, I'll go with you. Isaiah 41:10 says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I will uphold you by my righteous right hand. The Lord goes with us. There's something about knowing that the presence of God is with us. You may not know it now, but the Lord is with you right now. You may not know it, but when you go to that doctor's visit, the Lord is with you. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but guess what? The Lord will deliver us from them all. And here's what I know, guys. We have nothing to fear. Nothing at all. Why? Because we have his promises, we have his word, and we have his presence. Will you bow your head today? Father, I thank you for your word today, for reminding us that we do not have to live in fear. And Lord, just as you spoke to Joshua, Father, speak to us now, calling us to be strong and courageous. Lord, we thank you for your promise that assures us of victory, for your word that guides every step, and for your presence that sustains us in every challenge. And Lord, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, you might be here tonight and you might say, you know, that's all fun and good, Derek, and I understand that, but you know what? I don't know this God that you're talking about. Or you might be someone who at one time walked closely with the Lord, but life happened and you got discouraged and you went the other way. Well, friends, tonight I want to encourage you, because I believe tonight is the night where the tide of the battle turns in your favor. So tonight I want to ask you, as a show of faith, if you say, I've never known the Lord, or I've walked away from the Lord, but I want to come back to him, or I want to make him my Lord and my Savior tonight, as an act of faith, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand and say, that's me. Pray for me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for those hands. Thank you. Okay, if you'll put those down. You may not have raised your hands tonight, but God sees your hearts as well. And so we're going to do what we do every Wednesday night here at the Ark. We're going to make a confession. We're going to say a prayer together. So just repeat after me. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior, and I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins, and God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I am a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Father, we thank you for every person who made that decision for the first time today. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, that you're doing something new in their hearts, new in their lives. And Father, I thank you for giving them and all of us a revelation that our best days are ahead of us. Father, I thank you for every household represented in this room. Lord, you know exactly what everyone is dealing with, what everyone is going through. And Father, as an act of faith, we join our faith together and we thank you for your goodness, for your faithfulness, Lord God, because we declare that your word will not return void, that it's going to produce in every situation, and help us, Lord God, to experience this, the promises of God. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearkchurch.com. Have a great week.